Welcome to Security Dilemma. Today we have a bit of a unique mini episode. Things are moving fast this week with Middle Eastern regional tensions, and I have John Allen Gay here, JQAS Executive Director, Security Dilemma host, and co-author of War with Iran, Political, Military, and Economic Consequences, published in 2013. John, what's been happening this week that you think listeners should know about?
Yeah, so we're pretty much at the brink of a potential major war. The Israelis several days ago bombed the Iranian consulate in Damascus and killed several senior officers from the IRGC Quds Force, which is basically their external covert action, special forces, intelligence spectrum of organization. And since then, the Iranians have been saying that they are going to retaliate for this. And the Israelis have in turn said that they would retaliate for the retaliation for this. And the United States has implied some level of support for all of this. Biden emphasized yesterday that our commitment to Israel is ironclad against attack from Iran. There is certainly speculation that this could, at a minimum, entail political support, which is virtually a given, but also possibly providing some missile defense if ballistic missiles come in from Iran, which is one of the main possibilities, or even getting more directly involved, especially if this conflict starts to spread. And there are a lot of options that the Iranians have to retaliate. They have proxy forces present in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon, of course. All of those have conducted operations against Israel already during this conflict. And the Houthis, too, which are a bit of a looser proxy relationship. They've shot a few ballistic missiles up the Red Sea toward Israel. One possibility is just that they would conduct a revenge strike via these proxies. That's what a lot of people seem to think is more likely in the Iran analyst community. I have my own reasons for disagreeing with that. The reason to think that Iranian retaliation directly is unlikely is that the Iranians have shown by their behavior since October 7th that they're not trying to get into a war directly, because that doesn't really play to their strengths. They've built all these proxies for a reason. One, so they can use them. Two, so that they can defend themselves or retaliate in the face of attacks like this. And three, because they are relatively weak. Conventional force does less for them. So there is a certain logic that they would be trying to avoid war here and all of the risks that that would entail, including if the Israelis keep their promise of a major retaliation, strikes on the Iranian nuclear program, which is a major long-term strategic asset for them, gives them the potential to develop a nuclear weapon at some point, you know, which obviously is a major strategic tool, something that can deter all manner of attacks and shift the balance in the region. So there's a lot of risks for Iran. The other layer being, of course, that the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, is very old. And so they are very clearly trying to batten down the hatches on their political system ahead of a transition. So this would be a moment of huge volatility for them. That said, I disagree with the folks who think this means that Iran will not respond directly. My reasoning is that they have not only been signaling quite openly that they're going to respond. So some of the more covert stuff that they've done and that Hezbollah has done in the past would be harder to deny, because they could just say, all right, you blew up a consulate, we'll blow up a consulate of yours. That does include the real risks and reputational damage that comes with conducting either a terrorist attack, you know, just straight up blowing up a diplomatic facility, which Hezbollah did back in 1992 when the Israelis killed, I believe it was the Secretary General of Hezbollah. They blew up the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. And, you know, you can't really openly admit to doing something like that without facing real international consequences. They could also try to strike an Israeli diplomatic facility in the region. But the thing is, I've looked all over the map, and I'm not sure that there's many places where they're ready to do severe damage to their relationship with the host country. They're on a rapprochement trajectory with places like the UAE, and they're, you know, they're kind of subordinate Bahrain, or Bahrain is more of a Saudi subordinate, but the point still stands. They had that deal that they made a while back, orchestrated by China, with the Saudis. So there's a lot of reasons for them to potentially hit the Israelis directly. I would also remind everybody that after the United States conducted strikes that killed the head of the IRGC, Quds Force, not just a senior general, but the head, Qasem Soleimani, back in January of 2020, the Iranians responded directly against U.S. bases. To me, that says that they had a high degree of risk tolerance, or that they felt they needed to tolerate a lot of risk in order to send a message that they were willing to keep fighting and to escalate if America, you know, were to keep doing stuff to them. And they did this in an administration that at the time had a maximum pressure policy toward Iran, had figures like Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo, who are consistent, longtime hawkish figures on Iran, among the most hawkish figures on Iran. So they were willing to tolerate, I think, a much greater risk of conflict with the United States. And they still responded directly. And they would look very weak if they don't hit back, because this was a strike on a diplomatic facility. Like, that is politically a major escalation. And so I think that that gives them a lot of reasons that they're going to want to show that you can't do this to them and not pay a price.
How would you frame wider regional war in terms of the American national interest? What does America want out of this?
Well, we didn't want the war that's followed, or that started on October 7th. You know, we have been trying for going on 20 years at this point, certainly 15, to pivot away from the Middle East. We do not see that region as one that is of high central strategic importance. Everybody in Washington wants to focus on China, with a subset of people who want it to be about Russia. Nobody is really saying, wow, America needs to be more involved in the Middle East. That's our main place, with scores to settle, interests to defend, et cetera. The Middle East is fading in both absolute importance because of the increase of oil resources that we have accessible here in the United States, and in relative importance because of the growing challenge that the United States faces in Asia. So getting tangled up in a war in the region would be strategically disastrous. I think it could also come at significant human cost, although I think the main danger for loss of life is an Israeli Hezbollah war, which is a real possibility here. The Israelis are reported to have contemplated quite seriously conducting major strikes on Hezbollah just days after the October 7th attack. And I think that they are still in a moment where they're in post 9/11 mode. You know, they've had this event that happened that made them fundamentally rethink their security paradigm. They thought they had Hezbollah in a box, and instead Hezbollah conducted an attack that was the worst loss of life in a single day of Jews since the Holocaust.
You mean Hamas?
Hamas. And so that paradigm that they had there was not correct of how to manage that problem. And so now they're looking at their other security problems, and they have to be saying, okay, Hezbollah is even more capable than Hamas by a long shot. Do we want to live under the same threat that Hezbollah is going to try to do something like this, when we thought, you know, for all these reasons, that they wouldn't do that? So there's a real possibility there. And if war starts breaking out between Iran and Israel, I mean, Hezbollah is a very logical place for there to be escalation. So there's a whole lot of danger there. That would be bad for the United States, huge amounts of loss of life. And of course, this is still the region where most of the world's oil comes from, or most of the world's, like, internationally traded, flexible supply oil. And so there is a global impact via the oil market that would seriously affect the U.S. economy if the oil supply in the region starts getting disrupted. So there's real potential harm to the United States such that we should not want this to escalate one bit.
Well, that's all from Security Dilemma. Have a great weekend, everyone.